A 94-year-old lady was asked, "What's your secret for being happy?" She answered, "I've never said no to the Lord." What about you? The church at Pergamos in the book of Revelation said no to the Lord quite often. So we hear the Lord saying in Revelation 2:14, "I have a few things against thee." Heed the admonition. In verse 14 we read, "I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication." While the church as a whole didn't practice the doctrine of Balaam, she allowed in her membership or fellowship those who did. They were trying to be broad-minded, tolerant, lax, but they should have practiced discipline. Balaam had unusual gifts. You can read of him in Numbers 23, 24, and 25. Balak, the king of Moab, hired Balaam to curse Israel. He tried three times, but wound up blessing them instead. He then decided that if he couldn't curse them, he'd corrupt them. He advised Balak to set a trap by inviting the men of Israel to a sensual feast. There they fell into sin with the daughters of Moab. As a result, God killed 24,000 Israelites, and Balaam was slain. He cried, "Let me die the death of the righteous." But God did not grant that request. He was willing to die the death of the righteous, but he wasn't willing to live the life of the righteous. In verse 14, we see the phrase, "To eat things sacrificed to idols." That was one of the greatest social problems of that day. When a man sacrificed an animal in a pagan temple, only a small part of it was burned. After the priest would take his share, the rest was handed back to the worshippers. The worshipper, with that, would throw a big feast, and he'd invite his friends. Could he whose lips have touched the Lord's cup and the Lord's food of the sacrament allow his lips to touch meat offered to heathen gods? The false teachers answered, yes. The true ones said, no. The false teachers encouraged them to commit fornication. One thing which Christianity introduced into the world was virtue and chastity. In that day, as it's becoming in our day, sexual morals were loose. The false teachers encouraged the Christians of Pergamos to commit fornication, to conform to the accepted standards of the world, and to stop being different. They said, of course, be a Christian, but live like the world. Our Lord added in verse 15, "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." The Nicolaitans taught the separation of matter and spirit. They said, when in Rome, do as Rome does. Be a Christian, but don't be narrow. Don't be different. Partake of the Lord's Supper, of course, but enjoy the meat that's offered to idols. It won't hurt you to drink. It won't hurt you to commit fornication, so long as you believe. If you're a Christian, you'll die the death of a righteous person, whether you live a righteous life or not. That's wrong. Now, look at the appeal. It's written in verse 16, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." In the original, it means repent immediately. That is, Change your mind, change your heart, change your attitude toward lax living. Not only believe right, but behave right. If they didn't repent immediately, what would the Lord do? He'd fight. Against whom? Them. With what? A sword. He's saying, if you don't deal with them, I will. Discipline them, exclude them, or I'll fight against them. Look what happened in the first church. There was a couple that contaminated the church. It couldn't grow because of them. To cleanse the church, God killed them, Ananias and Sapphira. Look what happened to the Christians in Corinth. They came to the Lord's table with sin in their lives, according to 1 Corinthians 11, 27-30. What happened? Some became sick, some died. But a beautiful promise is found in verse 17. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. The manna was divinely given, but it had to be humanly gathered. The church members were asked to choose between the divine manna or the devil's manna. They suffered who ate the devil's manna, the meat that was sacrificed to idols. But they were satisfied who ate the divine manna, which is the word of God. You never lose when you're loyal to the Lord. You give up your sins, and the Lord will give you that which satisfies. He adds, to him that overcometh, I will give a white stone, and upon the stone a name is written, which no one knoweth but he that receiveth it. A white stone in that day stood for acquittal, a black stone for condemnation. The jury would cast either white or black stones in a jar. The person was cleared or condemned by the color of the stone. So if a Christian is faithful, Christ gives him the white stone. The white stone in those days was given to a slave that was freed, or to a soldier that was victorious. The overcoming Christian gives evidence that he's been freed from Satan. He's a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, and he's an overcomer. The white stone was given as a charm. It was used to protect and bless the wearer. And the Christian lives a charmed life. He's protected and blessed by Christ. The white stone, with a name on it, entitled the person a free pass to a party, a great feast. And as Christians, we're admitted to the heavenly feast. So, coming to Christ isn't coming to a funeral, it's coming to a feast. And it's upon the loyal Christian that Christ lavishes one good gift after another. And even though we have trials and tribulations on this earth, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. My friend, give up everything for Jesus, but don't give up Jesus for anything. Live loyally. Be a Christ-like Christian, an overcomer. Whatever you do, don't be overcome by Satan and sin.